There was an old farmer, and he was unhappy with the yield of his crop. And he heard of a new seed that was highly recommended. And so he bought enough seed to seed his whole field. And for the first time in years, he produced a wonderful crop. It was so abundant, his neighbors were amazed by the crop. Beautiful corn, full ears, full field. In fact, they're so amazed by it, they approached him and asked for the opportunity to buy some of his seed. He thought about it, but he was afraid he would lose some of his profit, afraid he would lose an advantage over them, and so he adamantly refused to share his seed. The second year, the seed did not produce as good a crop. The third crop was a disaster. As he thought about it, he realized that his prized corn had been compromised by his neighbor's inferior corn through the process of cross-fertilization. In a lot of ways, we're not different from that farmer. We look for ways to improve our condition, produce a better spiritual crop, maybe even a better physical crop. We look for guidance. We look for new ideas, and we try to implement them in our lives. We set goals. We make resolutions. We read self-help books. We might even read the book for insight as to how to improve our lives. But let me tell you something. No matter how hard we try, no matter how many new ideas we implement into our lives, no matter how much work we put into self-improvement, there is something that will always work against us. And that's our neighbor's crops. Let me explain. The farmer had an opportunity to surround his crops with a product of equal quality. But because he was scared it was going to cost him something, his good crop, rather than influencing the bad, worked in reverse. And his crop was ruined by the inferior crops around him. The same thing can happen to us spiritually if we're not careful. I'm going to look at three examples tonight. We're going to look at the example of advice. We're going to look at the example of companionship. And then we're going to look at the example of teaching. And notice how we can choose to produce a good crop and then influence the crops around us so that we keep ours in good condition. Or we can plant our crop and ignore what's going on around us and begin to notice that our crop is failing because of the influence of those coming in. Let's start with advice. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 12 and starts with verse 1. Rehoboam is now the heir to the throne. And so all of Israel comes to Shechem to make him king. They send to him some ambassadors. Verse 4, your father made our yoke hard. Therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us. We will serve you. Hey, things hadn't been so easy these last few years. Lighten up. You'll have our allegiance. You'll have our service. So he says, all right, I'll think about it. Give me 3 days and then you come back and I'll answer you. So King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive. How do you counsel me to answer this people? They spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to this people today, we'll serve them, grant them their petition, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. He forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. And he said to them, what do you counsel? So verse 10, the young men come back with their response. Tell the people this. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us, but you shall speak to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to that yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions. The people return on the third day like they're supposed to, verse 12, and he answers them harshly because he had ignored the advice of the elders. And he spoke to them just like the young men told him to in verse 14. The king did not listen to the people. It was a turn of events from the Lord, verse 15, that he might establish his word, which the Lord spoke through Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered, saying, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in a son of Jesse. To our tents, O Israel, look after your own house, David. So Israel departed to their tents. As for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death. Rehoboam made haste to mount his chariot to flee from Jerusalem. Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Verse 20, they make Jeroboam their king. The kingdom splits. Prophecy of God comes true. Solomon's son is unable to keep the nation together. And from then on, until the fall of the individual nations, you have Israel and you have Judah. Bad advice cost Rehoboam his kingdom. Cost him the bigger portion of his kingdom. See, the thing is he sought the advice. It wasn't that somebody just came up to him and started telling him how to run his kingdom. He went looking for advice. I'm going to ask the elders, I'm going to ask those who've already seen this world go around a few times and see what they think, and they give them good advice. He doesn't like it, so he goes to some younger ones who think like he thinks. And they give him the opposite advice, and he likes it. And he sought the advice. So what I want you to understand is when we seek advice in the wrong place, when we accept the wrong advice, it influences our crop. Rather than us being the difference makers in the world begins to make the difference in our lives. You see, you can plant your crop and you can weed it and you can tend it and you can do everything that you want to do to keep it beautiful. But if it butts up against a neighbor's crop and he doesn't weed his and he asks for your help to get it weeded but you refuse, sooner or later those weeds start creeping across the line and you're going to fight that battle for the rest of your life. Bad advice can ruin you. Be careful where you seek it. Let's look at companionship. Matthew chapter 26. Poor Peter. Peter's with Jesus. Peter's with the rest of the disciples minus Judas. They're in the garden. They're being encouraged to pray. They're getting good advice. They've surrounded themselves with like-minded individuals. And then the arrest comes and the crowd scatters. And Peter scatters. Peter's going to follow at a distance. And so he makes it to the court of the high priest. And it says, starting in verse 69, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. And a certain servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away. He began to curse and to swear, I do not know the man. Immediately a cock crowed, and Peter remembered the words which Jesus had said, before a cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Do you think Peter's actions would have been the same if he'd been standing side by side with Jesus. Not at all. He chose to surround himself with the wrong company. He chose to surround himself with those who were on the outside, and he's influenced by it. No longer does he have the backbone that had just a page before said, Jesus, I'll die with you. Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'm not going to leave your side. There's no way. The whole world can run away from you, and I'm going to be right there. When they scatter, he scatters. And he never gets back to being side by side with Jesus until after the resurrection. When we surround ourselves with people who think like us, it's a lot easier to stay faithful. It's a lot easier to produce a good crop. But when we surround ourselves with people whose crops are inferior, it's very easy for that influence to flow in the wrong direction. And before long, our crop turns bad. Let's look at doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 is one of those passages that as soon as you begin to talk about influence, we immediately turn to. Evil companionship corrupts good morals, or evil conversation corrupts good morals. What I want you to understand tonight is let's leave it in its context of the teaching about the resurrection. Paul's been arguing for 32 verses about the truth of the resurrection, about all the different appearances, who to whom and how many times, and all of these things that are going on. He then tells us that if the resurrection didn't happen, what? We're in trouble. Our faith's useless. There's no hope. We're not going to go anywhere. After all of that, then he tells us, evil communication, evil corruption, or evil companionship, evil conversation corrupts good morals. The doctrine that we surround ourselves with, what we're reading, what we're listening to, affects the way that we think, and the way that we think affects the way that we live. Staying in 1 Corinthians 15, what this means is if I hang around bad doctrine long enough and I become convinced that the resurrection didn't happen and the next resurrection's not going to happen, what reason do I have to act right? Because I have nothing in which to put my faith if Jesus didn't come back from the dead. And if I'm not going to come back from the dead, if when I die it's over with, there's no punishment, there's no reward. So why act right? Doctrine changes the way we think. And so if I'm not the one with the good doctrine influencing those around me, then it's very likely I'm the one whose doctrine's being influenced. And if I absorb the wrong teaching, sooner or later, it is going to change my actions. The atmosphere around us, the crops being produced by those with whom we surround ourselves, the teaching of those that we look to for advice can do one of two things. It can either build us up. You know, we can be built up by good advice. We can be built up by good companionship. We can be built up by good doctrine. Or they can tear us down. They will go a long way in determining the crop that we produce in our lives. If we surround ourselves with those who give good advice, faithful, mature Christians when it comes to spiritual advice, the advice we get will be good. And then if we take it, it'll produce good in our lives. If we surround ourselves with those with good moral fiber, good companionship, their influence will be good. It's harder to act bad around good people. If we surround ourselves with solid doctrine from others, from the Word, our doctrine will be good. But if we flip it, If we surround ourselves with people that give bad advice, and bad advice is all we get, guess what? We begin to take bad advice. We begin to make bad decisions. If we surround ourselves with people with no moral fiber, our fiber begins to deteriorate. And our doctrine does too. Now then, that doesn't mean we cut ourselves off from the world. We have to evangelize the world. Roger just read, you know, we've been given the Great Commission. We're to go into all creation and preach the gospel to every creature. But we have to make sure that the influence is going that direction, not the other way around. Whether through evangelizing and teaching those around us or by pruning the rotten branches in our lives, we have to be the difference maker. You see, and the thing is, we tend to think it doesn't matter. We tend to think it doesn't matter who we listen to or what we listen to or who we hang around with or what we read. That's why, go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, Paul said, do not be deceived. Don't be tricked into thinking that the things that are influencing your life are harmless, because they're not. Here's the thought as we go into the invitation. You're going to produce a crop in your life. You're going to present a crop to the Father on the last day. The value of that crop is up to you. You determine it. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Paul writes, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. In due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of faith. You may be sowing the absolute best seed that there is in your own field. But if your closest companions, if your advice givers, if your doctrine teachers are sowing corrupt seed and the influence is going the wrong direction, sooner or later your crop will fail. Peter was a good moral being. Peter is a man who is spending his time with Jesus. He's a man who's going to be there at Pentecost. And yet all it took was a little bit of influence from the world for him to collapse like a rag doll. We've been called to be the difference makers. We've been called to help other people grow better crops in their lives. We've been called to help people weed the sin out of their lives. If we don't do that, sooner or later, the cross-pollination catches up with us. And our spiritual crops can fail. We understand that in the material world, right? You know, you don't take financial advice from a man who's filed bankruptcy 7 times. You get your financial advice from somebody who knows how to keep his finances. Why would we seek spiritual advice, spiritual companionship from someone whose life has failed, whose crops are destitute? Be the difference maker. Not only make sure that your crop's good, but make sure that the crops of those around you are good, and your rows will stay clean too. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, if you need to have your life washed clean so that you can start with a fresh crop, you can. Absolutely. Start over tonight, brand new, and begin to produce good. And if you're a child of God and you've seen the weeds start creeping in, or you've seen the value of your crop deteriorating, it's time to go to work and clean it up as we stand and sing.